tonight.
Yes, yes, yes. Excited about tonight. I wanted to kind of get things rolling right away because I have a little bit I want to share before we get into tonight, a night of testimony, and I'll explain how it's going to work here in just a little bit when we get to that. These are always great nights. We've done them for many years. We hadn't done them the last year or two because we got a little bit too large to do it the way we used to do it, but I think I have a plan that we can do it again that's going to be effective tonight, and we'll get to that when we get there. But if you have your Bibles, open them up to Psalm 107. And while you guys are finding your way to Psalm 107, let's pray and ask God just to really bless tonight and that God would be blessed. So, Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray that you would open up your word to us now as we just read, Lord, a little bit of Psalm 107. And God, I pray, even as the psalmist cries out, even as your spirit cries out through the psalmist, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Tonight, we've set this night aside to give you thanks and to give you praise and glory, Lord, for what you've done. And I just pray that you would be blessed as we brag about you. And Lord, as we brag about you, I pray you pour out your spirit on us, fill us with your joy, and let us rejoice as your family, Lord, even now as we celebrate Thanksgiving tonight, as we get ready to go with our families and celebrate it with physical feasting tomorrow. We pray that tonight would be a spiritual feast. Lord, set your table, and we look forward to what you're gonna do tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 107 is a psalm of thanksgiving. I only want to read some of it. I don't think I'll read it all because I want to give us more time tonight. I was originally going to read it all, but it kind of follows this theme. And throughout this theme, what the Holy Spirit is saying through the psalmist is I wish people would give me thanks. Oh, that men would give me thanks. God is always working in our lives, and we don't always recognize it. Sometimes we might even be in a hard moment right now. But God is working in that hard moment right now to be a blessing in your life if you trust him and you'll wait on the Lord. Listen to what it says there, starting in verse 1. He says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what we'll do tonight. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and we have been rescued from the hand of Satan. And we've been gathered out of the lands from the east and the west and the north and south. And yes, this is speaking directly of the children of Israel, but we've also all been gathered as God's family from all places. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Notice this. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Now, if you finish reading the psalm, I'm not going to take the time to go through it all tonight because I want to give you guys a chance to share testimonies. We'll get to them in just a moment. But it follows this same theme. It talks about all these ways that people go through very, very hard, difficult times, and they don't realize the entire time God is working. And then when all of a sudden God comes through and just does this amazing miracle, they see God the whole time, even in my miserable moment, even as dark as it seemed, you were working the whole time, and you had it all for your goodness and for your glory, and here it all came together. And through all the Psalms, he gives several scenarios here in 107. I encourage you to read it later on your own. And he keeps saying that same theme. If there's a theme of it, it would be this. Verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. As you remember the pilgrims, those of you that know the story, they were under persecution, not being able to worship freely. And so not being able to worship freely, there was a group of them that left and headed off to Holland. And they wanted to go to a new land, a new place where they could find a place they could worship freely. And when they got to Holland, they knew that that wasn't their final destination, but they were praying, God, work it out so that we can have our own land, our own place, a place where we can find a place to make a home where we can worship freely and start over because the oppression is so great in England and Britain, and we want a fresh new start. And they ended up being there for 11 years before they headed off to come over here. And no doubt during that 11 years of waiting, as they fled there from the England area, running down to Holland, they're probably thinking, Lord, we're ready. You're going to give us a new land to go to. And all the years go by, 2 years go by, 5 years go by, 7 years, 10, 11 years go by. And they're probably thinking, Lord, have you forgotten us? Now, I don't know what they were thinking, but they wanted their own place. They wanted a new land. And they wanted to be able to, for God to do something new in their lives. And they believed him. And they were crying out to God for religious freedom. But you see, at the same time that was happening, when they made it there to Holland, there was an Indian by the name of Squanto here in now what we call America, who was taken as a slave. by some slave traders who captured him and took him back to Spain. And when they got to Spain, he no doubt was thinking, why is this happening to me? How in the world, how did I get captured as a slave? Why am I being taken away from my land? You know, who knows what was going on in his mind, in his heart. And when he got to Spain, he escaped. And he fled and made his way over to England, where he found employment. And he was a free man in England, working in England for many years while the pilgrims were there in Holland. And then by God's grace, after being several years there in England, learning the language, learning the trade, understanding the white man's ways, if you will, as compared to the Indians, he found a boat and a way to get back to what we now call America, and he made it back to the land. Well, then after the 11 years were done there in Holland, they were finally able to branch off and head to this new land called America. William Bradford and all those on the Mayflower and all that went with that, they landed, as you know, and when they landed, they were there at Plymouth Rock, and the first winter they had was devastating. They were praying, God, thank you for the new land, and we're expecting you to do a great work. Many of them died, almost up to half of them. Even William Bradford's wife died during that first year, for those of you that know the history. And so as they were crying out to God that entire winter, God, show us how to survive. Help us survive. We're dying. The first year we were here, we almost all died out. We don't know the land. We don't know how to live here. We don't know what to do. God, please answer our prayer. And all of a sudden, according to history, an Indian man by the name of Squanto came walking out of the woods and introduced himself to them, speaking perfect English. How in the world do you speak perfect English? And he began to share the story, and he was able to teach them, as well as the other Indians there, how to survive in the new land. They survived, and the rest is history. Here we are today, a nation founded on those who were seeking God. And who else could work such a story out and create such a testimony? While the pilgrims are praying, oh, God, take us to a land. Oh, Lord, what's the delay? Oh, Lord, at the whole time that he's having someone going, why am I being taken a slave? Why am I being taken to England, learning a new language, sending him back to his land and having him living there, knowing the people, knowing the land, knowing how to help them survive, and then leading them into a place where they could survive, and God answering the prayers in just an amazing way. No one could orchestrate that but God. Only God could do that. And so then, of course, after they learned to survive, they had this great celebration with the Indians for God's faithfulness and helping them make it through this new land and learning how to live off the land, and the rest is history. That was the first Thanksgiving, and of course, now that's why we celebrate Thanksgiving now. So there's kind of a quick synopsis and brief story of Thanksgiving. What a testimony. Can you imagine if Squanto had a chance to share his testimony? Well, I was just living there in the land. I was taken as a slave, and I thought, what am I doing? This is horrible. This is the worst thing ever. And God goes, no, this is going to be a blessing to so many people. And you're going to be used to bless a nation for hundreds of years after this, because I'm going to take you over there, teach you their language, bring you back, and you're going to help them survive. It's going to be hard, but I've got a great plan for you, Squanto. You need to trust me. And no doubt the pilgrims are thinking, Lord, after all this waiting and all this waiting, now we're all dying. You know, we stepped out in faith. We believe you were in it. And now they give the testimony. Yes, it was very hard. It was very difficult. But God was doing something deep in us and deep in this land and creating a whole new nation, the greatest nation on the face of the planet, really since the world began. And now here we are today celebrating it. That's why we celebrate Thanksgiving. And they were thanking God for God's faithfulness. And so here's what we're going to do tonight. The Bible says that one of the ways we defeat the enemy is with a testimony. Our testimonies of what God has done. And wouldn't it be great to be able to hear William Bradford's testimony and Squanto's testimony and everybody that was there? That would be great. We don't have that other than we have history. But we do have what God has done in our lives tonight. And so the Bible says that one of the ways we defeat the enemy is our testimony. So tonight we're going to do a real smackdown on the enemy. And we're going to share testimonies. Here's how it's going to work. You're going to stay where you are, but stand up. The guys are going to bring a microphone over. And the best you can in sharing a testimony of how God has worked in your life this past year, amazing things God has done that we need to hear that give God glory and show the work of God, try to make it within 2 minutes. Wow. Every one of you could share an hour. Every one of you could probably share 2 hours of what God has done in your testimony. But if we do that, one person will get to share tonight. But if we do it to 2 minutes, and you can say, okay, here's what happened. I'm going to sum this up, whatever. We may have 20 people share tonight. If we have 5-minute testimonies, we'll have 7 or 8. If we have 2-minute testimonies, we'll have 15 to 20. So I want to strongly encourage you, try to keep it around 2 minutes. I know that's really hard. I understand that. We're doing something that is causing you to really think and to cut it down or whatever. But just keep that in mind when you do it, because otherwise there's going to be a lot of people that want to share that won't get a chance to. So I want to just, again, open it up now. And if you have something you want to share, let's just give thanks to the Lord. Remember what this is, a testimony of thanks to the Lord, what God has done in your life, and give God an opportunity just to get glorified. And as he said, that men would give thanks unto the Lord. So tonight we're going to do it. So let's begin to give thanks to the Lord. So if you have something, stand up. We'll get a microphone, and here we go. Usually hard to start and almost impossible to stop. It's like a stampede by the end. Here we go, right here already.
My name is Gloria. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm here since Thursday to relocate as an answer to prayer because I've been praying. My family, which has been fractured, some here, some in L.A., some in all over the place. And I said, Lord, heal my family. And this is the first answer to that prayer. I'm with my son, my grandson, John Bowling, and his dad, who is my son. And God is good. When you ask him according to his word, he's God, the father of families. And he wants family unity. And now he's uniting my family and brought me here to be with my son.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we go, back here, guys. If two of you stand at once, we'll just, whoever gets there first, we'll go, so.
Hi, my name is Kara, and God brought me here to Knoxville 11 years ago. From Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and he's good, and he's amazing, and I love him. He's my father and my husband and the lover of my soul, and he's a good God, and he's doing good things.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Ms. Linda, about a year ago, I was living in a place that was just not very healthy. It was had a lot of health issues, and I had been praying to God and about finding another place, and I applied to the building that I'm living in now. They told me it was going to be at least a year, and about a month and a half later, they called me up, and they said they had a place for me, and God just, with the help of Calvary Chapel, everything fell in place. So I have a wonderful home that's a lot safer and a lot more comfortable.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hello, my name is Nikki. I'm going to make my testimony as quick as possible. It would take hours. Basically, a few years ago, I went through something really big, and I had a spirit of fear come upon me, and I couldn't eat, drink, I couldn't sleep. I was on my knees screaming out to God to save my life for 3 days. And on the third day, I audibly heard the voice of Jesus. The Holy Spirit fell upon me and he said, keep your eyes on me. And I said, I will never take my eyes off you, Jesus. And after I heard his voice, he just ignited a fire in me to fast and pray and read his word because I needed to know the truth, because just what I learned at church and in school, I went to private Christian school, it wasn't enough. I needed to know the Bible for myself. He started a fire in me and he told me, I have made you a witness to testify of me. So I'm standing here today being obedient to my God, and I will testify of him. And he's a good God. And he completely transformed my life, my prayer life. He gave me 5 beautiful children, and we just moved here a year ago from Southern California. I went to Calvary Chapel Murrieta for school when I was in elementary school, and I was actually pregnant with our 6th child, and the Lord had been telling us to move to Tennessee. I just was praying on like when the timing was. And the Lord showed me one night in a dream that we were going to be moving really quickly. But in my own thoughts, I was wondering when, because we had a baby on the way. Well, the day after we found out a little one, the Lord had taken her to heaven. And Jesus all of a sudden, we put our house on the market. Within 4 days, we put our house on the market, and it sold full price within a few hours. And we were on our flight to Tennessee, and we came here. And we came here without a job, with 5 children, just the obedience and following the Holy Spirit and telling us to leave and go. And on my way here, I was following my husband. I had the 5 kids, and he was driving the truck, and I was listening to his sermon, and the Lord was speaking to me, telling me, I'm taking you out of the land of Egypt into the land flowing of milk and honey. And we came here, and then my husband was obviously worried because we didn't have a job. He gave up his everything over there just out of obedience. And the Lord told him, call on me, and I will give you a job. And he did. He provided a job for us. He gave us a home. He has brought us to Calvary here. I didn't even know there was a Calvary in Tennessee, and that's where I grew up, in Calvary. And I'm just so thankful to God. He's alive. He is good. Even my daughter has had visions of Jesus. He is pouring out his Spirit on all his people. Even your sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will have dreams, and there will be visions. And God is good. And the more we seek him, the more we will find him. We just need to be a church that is on our knees in prayer, seeking him with all of our heart, because he is alive and he is good. So glorify your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm Melissa. Now, we've been here since June, I think, and we're so grateful to be at this church. But I just wanted to share with you that God showed me just recently how much he really loves me. And I've been praying and asking him to show me, because I grew up a kind of legalistic background and felt like God only loved me when I was doing what I should be doing or not doing what I shouldn't be doing. And so I had been just praying every morning. I was like, Lord, just show me how much you love me. Would you just give me a visual of this? And so my husband and I are fixing up a room in our home. And I just had this dream that I wanted to have a brick wall, just this focal wall in there to be bricks. But if you start looking at the prices of flat bricks, it was just really expensive. And so I thought, it's just too much money. I'm not going to worry about it. And I'll just do something else. I'll do brick wallpaper or something like that. And so still praying that prayer every morning. And my husband came home from work and said, you're not going to believe this, but this guy that I'm working with said that he's getting rid of all this construction material at his home, and he's got some boxes of flat bricks, want to know if we want them. Yes. So 10 boxes of flat bricks that God gave me. And so every morning I just can get up and look at that brick wall, and it's not really something that I needed. It was just God just saying, I love you. So I'm just so grateful for him and how he answers our prayers in such a real, tangible way.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome.
My name is Ryan. I got saved about 2 years ago. And the Lord revealed himself to me by kind of removing me from everything that I believed was meaningful in my life. You know, moved me countries, away from my friends, away from my family, into just an entirely new land. And you know, I went through a period of time where, you know, I thought, how could everything meaningful in my life disappear so quickly? How could I be so far away from everything I thought was meaningful? And you know, I became nihilistic and you know, depressed, was completely separated from God. And then through a series of, you know, men that I was listening to, podcasts, YouTube videos, all that, he revealed himself to me, and I formed this idea of God, and he revealed himself to me as the ultimate meaning in life. And ever since then, I've been basically searching for him and trying to build a relationship with him. So, and I'm so thankful for Calvary Chapel here in Knoxville, because it's, you know, I feel like we have a pastor that speaks the truth, and we can just live in truth here in this church. I'm so thankful for that.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, my name is Heather. I just moved here from California. Me and my husband had a long, hard time getting pregnant. In 2011, we had a miscarriage. And God kept moving to go to prayers. And God kept telling us that we were going to have a beautiful baby girl. And so finally, in 2019, we got pregnant with my daughter. And when I was about 6 of them, I was pregnant. I kept having these, God kept giving me these dreams that something was going to happen to her during birth. That me or her were both gonna die. And so I kept calling everybody to like, pray and pray, because that's what I felt like God was trying to tell me to do. And to come to find out when she came early, because due to some complications, that she shouldn't even be here right now. When she was born, she was completely blue, not breathing for at least a few minutes. She had a knot in the umbilical cord the whole pregnancy. And I had preeclampsia, so when I went early, I was starting to bleed because it was coming off the wall. Sorry, I can't even remember everything right now, but yeah, God kept giving me visions that to pray because she shouldn't even be here right now. And now she's 2 years old, beautiful, and God told me I was going to name her Faith Eden, and that's what her name is.
Amen. Amen. Fantastic.
My name is Tim, and just some testimonies of great answered prayer. Several years ago, God just began to stir in my heart a burden and kind of a ministry idea, a vision of helping individuals and churches engage in making disciples locally and around the world. And I started to kind of ask the Lord questions and kind of brainstorm, and it came and went. There were times where I just really poured into it and felt like, oh, God, you're going to do this right now. And then nothing would happen. And so it'd kind of get put on the shelf, and then the Lord would bring it back up. And so over several years, there were different times where I felt like this is too big of an idea. There's no way that I can do it. And so I'd say, Lord, if you're going to make this happen, you've got to move. And then something would happen. He would bring me into contact with a key person, or just provide in a certain way. And this just over the past week, the Lord has provided. Let me back up real quick. About maybe 2 months ago, I was at one of those places again where I was like, God, this seems like something that's consistent with your word, but again, I'm one person and I can't make it happen, and you're going to have to move. And then another brother here, we were all fellowshipping outside, and he said, hey, Tim, you need to come meet this guy. So I walked over and met Matt, a young guy here, whose life work is involved in making the type of tools and equipment that tools that I'd kind of dreamed about. And so that was one key element in it. And then over the past week, God has just, through a number of sources, provided abundantly to take the next step of developing the tool for ministry. So. Just praise to the Lord, and just also a word of encouragement that if you feel God prompting you to do anything, take the next step and see what he does.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Cool. I just wanted to read Psalm 103, and it says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Amen to that. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandment to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we kind of feel like those verses. My husband even said, he was like, hey, that's us. We went from north to south, to east to west. We've lived in, well, we've moved 9 times since we've been married, 7 different states. 6 of the moves were across country. It's been crazy. But in all of those moves, we always had a good church, but I don't think what we prayed for was kindred spirits. And we finally got there. We finally have like a Christian family, which is hard to find, where you have people that really, they don't just believe in the Lord, but you really have, you have that kindred spirit, you're close. And people that really know what's going on in the world, which is missing. We've lived a lot of places, and a lot of those places, it's missing. They might follow the Lord, but they have no idea what's going on. They're just going along, and we're just so grateful for this church and for all the wonderful people we've met along the way.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I'm super shy, but I just felt like I needed to like brag about God because he has really shown up for me this year and my whole life, but this year has just been, wow. This time last year, I was in a very abusive marriage and I have 2 babies and my oldest is blind and autistic. And I was telling myself, there's no way that I can do this alone. And God was like, you're right. You can't do this without me. And I was like, okay. And I got out and didn't know where I was going to live. God set up a place for me basically immediately. 6 months were up. I had to move. Again, didn't know where I was going to stay. I had 30 days. And it was the 29th, and I had to be out by the next day. And I went to God and begged for him. I said, I can't go back to where I was. I'm really moving along. I just need you to help me. And that next day, I had to move out by 12 a.m. of that night. And I had an apartment call me. He's like, you know, your application, your credit is not very great, but I'm going to let you come anyways. And I moved in 6 hours, and God opened the door for me like that and continues just to bless me and show up for me. And I've been coming here for about 9 months now, and it's just been amazing to be back. And yeah, I'm just really thankful. Amen. So, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, my name is Laura, and I don't want to be the Southern California again, but that's where we come from. It's so interesting because God just showed his faithfulness many times over in my life, particularly. About a year and a half ago, I love having visions, but not the vision that God gives you, creating a vision and trying to make it happen. And in my vision was to see how my husband is not working anymore. He's at home. We do the business together. And all this happy family in my head. And I didn't even pray about it. It was more like a vision that something would happen in the future. I've been praying to get out of California for some time now. And we visited different states, North Carolina. We looked in Florida. We just couldn't get out. It was just no way. And in 2020, in the summer, we both felt a strong need, the first time, both of us at the same time, that we have to leave. And we prayed for a sign. And my brother-in-law literally just texted us, moving from Romania, coming back, say, we're coming to Knoxville, Tennessee. And we said, this is it. Never visited Tennessee, never been to Knoxville. We went in, we shopped for a house, we get accepted, we're in a contract, never visited Tennessee. So we decide, okay, let's just fly to see where we're moving, where we're buying the house. So we get here, totally disappointed on the house, on, you know, but there's nothing else. It's like, we'll take whatever they give us. And in 2 months, we were out. Like, we had such a strong urge to just get out and leave. And God was so faithful. Like, my husband was at the sheriff's department. He had a good job. And like, you must be stupid. People were telling us to just leave it on the table and just go. You don't even know what that state is about. And he was extremely faithful that now we can have the kids in school, not homeschooled, because it was extremely hard for me. And God heard a prayer that wasn't even a prayer. It was like almost like a wish come true. His faithfulness goes beyond our needs, beyond our must-haves. And I think he's just continually blessing us, and he's doing that for us to be a blessing to others. So I'm really thankful for his extreme faithfulness to us and our family.
Amen. Amen.
This past year, we lost my stepdad. He's been in my life since I was about five, so for a long time. And throughout my life, it wasn't always good, and it wasn't always easy. But the Lord has always had his hand on me. And when my daughter was born, 3 weeks after she was born, we moved in with them. And I had to do a lot of protecting my daughter. My stepdad was a alcoholic, and he was an incredible firefighter for over 34 years, and he saw a lot of death, and he saved a lot of lives. The Lord used him in great ways, and he was a phenomenal provider. He was so good in providing for our family, but he struggled like we all do, and I went through a lot of persecution because I love Jesus a lot. And he used to say, Emily, you're obsessed with Jesus. And I'd say, thank you. That's like the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me. And, you know, he had questions, and he knew he could always come to me, and I just loved him through it. And March 15th, he had a tractor turn over on him, and it crushed his ribs. And he didn't know the severity. But 3 weeks prior, I didn't find out till later he had given his heart to Jesus. And after the accident happened, I went to my parents' house and I kicked the tractor and I got on my face and prayed to God. And I was just like, don't let Satan have him. Don't let Satan have him. And the Lord was so good to give me the verse in Luke where Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and the Pharisees was condemning a woman for cleaning his feet, for putting the oil on his feet. And he said, not to do that, for she has loved much, she's forgiven much. And that was the verse that he gave me that my dad received. So when I went and saw him, this was the day before he knew that he was going to pass away. I asked him, I said, do you know that Jesus will forgive everything you've ever done wrong? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, and the whole time he's like, gasping. And I said, well, do you receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior right now? He said, yes, I do. And we prayed, and I found out 3 weeks prior that he had received the Lord. And I just want to thank God for that.
Amen.
He works in everything.
Amen, so. Amen.
I've always like grown up in church, but I never really like loved church for church. I loved it because I had always been there and my friends were there. And then early this year, my parents were like, we're going to visit Calvary Knoxville. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I don't know anyone there. It's different. But then when I went and I still didn't know anyone, I wanted to come back. And I've never been this close to God, and I've never known real worship until early this year, and I've grown up in church my entire life. So I'm just so thankful that he brought me to this church, because I don't know where I would be without it.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Abby, as many of you know. And I just wanted to share this because I felt like the Lord was putting it on my heart. My parents are here today visiting from out of town. And throughout this 2-3 years that I've been here, I've been so blessed to be with a family that has really just adopted me and taken me in. And the Lord has just shown me his faithfulness in bringing the right people into your life. And if it hadn't been for my mom and Tracy meeting about 31 years ago, I wouldn't have this church. I wouldn't have the family that I have here. I wouldn't have the deep, meaningful friendships that I have that have impacted my life and allowed me to impact the people around me. And so it's just, I'm reminded, and I'm just so thankful that the Lord was able to bring that connection that affected my life and hopefully will affect the people around me. Through being able to be a light to the ministry that the Lord has placed me over here in kids' ministry. And that's it.
Amen. Amen.
Hi, I'm Angela, and I'm getting ready to celebrate one of those really big birthdays, like those really big birthdays. And when you do, you take some time to reflect on your life. And I've been telling my husband, I think the thing right now I'm most grateful for is a granny who sat me down and said, honey, you're going to hell. And she was right. Now, that word did not take root in my life for many years, but she loved me and she kept praying for me. And finally, when I came to faith, she was the first phone call I made. And upon her glorification, I got to share her eulogy, and she said, your one job is to share Jesus. You do it. And I did. I don't know that any of my family who are not Christians have made any decision. I continue to love them. I continue to pray for them. But I know this, that God's word does not come back void. He loves them more than I do. And one day, we will celebrate him together. Amen. Be encouraged, church. Your prayers mean much.
Amen. Amen.
So, a couple months ago, I had all these people. I had all these friends. I had the girl that I wanted, but for some reason there was nothing that would make me happy. So one day I was praying and I asked God if there's anything keeping me from you, that you would take it away. And then that's when I started losing all my friends. So I didn't get the the prayer wasn't answered in the way that I wanted it to, but it was still answered.
Great. I love it.
Hey, I'm Ben. Not from California. I'm weird. I'm from Knoxville my whole life. So on the theme of prayer and prayer, I was on the walking trail a couple days ago and had my headphones in, and an ad came on and it said, you know, the human race, we've come a long way. We've created things like penicillin and insulin. We've created the internet. And something inside of me said, no, we haven't created anything. God is the creator. God is the one that created those things. We just happened to find them. And as I thought about that and meditated on it, I'm extremely thankful for things like insulin and chemotherapy and the internet and penicillin and medicines and all those kinds of things, because I believe they're all answers to prayer, those things that were shared. Somebody cried out years and years ago and said, God, I've got a loved one that is in desperate need. And God allowed someone else to find his creation of penicillin. Or other people have cried out and said, God, we've got to get your gospel around the world. Please make that a possibility. And God allowed us to find his creation of the internet, where the word can hear the gospel. So of just remembering that the prayers that we are praying now might affect people tens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of years from now, because God is faithful to hear the cries of his kids.
Amen. Amen.
So I want to just share with you guys how thankful I am with the Lord for what he's done in my life. And after restoring me within myself, through accepting the Lord, he just gave me a desire for a wife. And I was just praying, Lord, you bring someone to my life that I would be able to serve and share your gospel with other people. And lo and behold, he brought the lady of my dreams. He more than I could ever wanted. So just a word of encouragement to any of you guys in the same position. First, he has to work inside restoring our own lives and before we can love another person. So just want to encourage you guys, if you're in the same place, that he is faithful and he'll answer our prayers. But first, he has to work in your personal life first. But to give thanks to the Lord for that.
God has been really faithful to me this year, and I just want to give him thanks publicly. I'm grateful that when my sin reaches up to heaven, he casts it into the depths of the sea. I'm grateful that my God of mercy comes to meet me. I'm grateful that his commands are not burdensome, but they're everlasting life, and they're for my good always. I'm grateful that pressed olives produce light. And I'm grateful that because God is my shepherd, I have everything that I need and I shall not want. I'm grateful that he understands my thought afar off, and his thoughts towards me are of peace. I'm grateful that it's not by power nor by might, but by his spirit. I'm grateful that it is the God of the universe who works in me both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And I'm grateful for the blood of Jesus that gives me access into his presence and lets me experience his holiness. I'm grateful that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me, and he will not forsake the work of his hands. I'm grateful that he is preparing a place for me, that where he is, I might be also.
Amen.
So recently I got to go to Uganda, and I was there for 3 months. And during that time, we got to we were able to do discipleship with the seventh graders in, and the Lord, and so we did it by we all drew different names from the classroom, and it was a big thing. And so, the two boys that I got, their names were Deus and Isaac, and, I was like, okay, that's like awesome. Like, I'm so excited to meet these guys and just like have a Bible study and do some cool things. And so then the leader, Bill, of the Uganda Kids Project led me out there, and he was like, I really was praying about it, and I was so confused as to why you got the two most difficult kids that we have at the school. And I was like, oh, that's encouraging. So the Lord, I was like, Lord, I don't know what to do. Like, what can I, like, what do I have to offer these guys? Like, they're hearing the word all the time. Like, there's nothing that I have. And so I said, Lord, like, if you're going to teach them anything, if you're going to do anything, you have to do it, because I can't break through. And so we started doing a Bible study and reading Colossians, and the Lord just really impressed on my heart to share that how much Jesus loves them. And every other day, when we would meet, one of the boys would say, "I quit," and I would say, "Well, I'm sorry, you can't." And then we just kept going, and he stayed through the entire time. He didn't miss one. But the other boy, Deus, he at the end of the trip, as we were leaving, we were just standing there, and my mission had been to show him how much God loves him and how much that I loved him as well. And as we were there, he didn't know, everyone was crying. He wasn't crying. And my other guy, he wasn't crying either. he's like, don't cry. He pointed his little finger at me. And I was like, I'm not. And but the other boy, Deus, he just came up to me and just hugged me and just didn't let go. And that just was the Lord answering that prayer. And later, as I left, I read a little newsletter and an update, and it said that as an award at the end of the school year, they gave an award for the most spiritual growth, and Deus won that. And so, yeah, I just am grateful.
So I've come a long way, not because I'm from California. I've come a long way in my spiritual development because I myself have been struggling with many different things, especially since, you know, growing up in a Christian home, you have to develop this faith, what you believe in, by yourself. And it ain't always easy to do that. I'm pretty sure there are many people in this room who could probably relate to that, and I think it only took me like not a near-death experience, but something close to it, just to get a grasp on something. I've been kind of grappled by fear a lot, and it's kind of took hold of me for most of my younger years. And I think it just like immediately started to fall apart as soon as I had one of the weirdest hikes I've ever had. I went out with this random stranger that I met at church one day, but a lot of people trusted him, including the elders, so I was like, you know what, sure, let's try it. I was desperate to go hiking. So he said, like, you know what, dude, like, we could plan like a whole day trip. Like, we'll go out there for like 2 to 3 days. Sure, we'll be fine. Just make sure to pack light, and I'll bring the extra water. Well, when we were out there, he didn't bring the extra water, and he only brought peanuts for food. So here we are out there, we're lost, we're just thirsty, and we basically have to make a big U-turn because it was in the middle of summer and it was just so hot. I honestly thought I was gonna die there because I was so thirsty. But Lord be willing, we actually found this small, stagnant little pond, and we had like some cleaning equipment for it, and we actually were able to make it the rest of the way. So if you're going through some other wilderness that is starting to grapple you down, God is going to use that experience for his glory. He's going to make sure you get there, and it may not be amazing. It won't be just a little soda and hop, skip, and a jump away. No, it's going to be, most of the time, it's going to be just a nasty-looking pond, and you might as well drink from it.
So I came to know the Lord probably 2 years ago, and I come from a pretty big family, and I was kind of the only one that started following him. The Lord allowed me to be a part of my little sister's life, and when she was 14, she got pregnant, and we all thought that that was the worst thing that could ever possibly happen. But the Lord used that little baby to get me and my little sister going to church, getting into fellowship. And this past year, I have seen incredible growth in me and my little sister. And I look at her, and every single time I look at her, I can just remember what the Lord has done, because she has grown so much. And it's like, the things that we think are the worst things that could happen to us are sometimes what the Lord uses to just bring us to him. And that's exactly what he did. And I can look at her daughter and just see that she is a complete blessing to us. And it's showing, I believe, that my little sister is being such a light to my family and specifically to our parents. And I am just so thankful for my little niece and my little sister and what God has done. It's me again. So a while ago, I don't want to say I wrote this because I feel like the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to write something down, and I just kind of let him guide me. But I wrote this down, and it says, "Despite my sin, he died for me. He saw me. He saw how many times I would fail. Despite my sin, he showed mercy. He saw how many times I would choose my flesh. Despite my sin, he called my name. He saw my sinful thoughts. Despite my sin, he fights for me. He saw me fall into temptation. Despite my sin, he forgave me. He saw me. Despite my sin, he loves me."
Hello. As my wife was talking earlier, we've moved around a lot, but just to add on to what she was saying, I think coming here, we found the kinship that she's talking about, but it's really people that I think are exercising their discernment to understand what's happening, and a lot of that to me comes from the leadership. So one of my things I'm thankful for is Pastor Mark, who's very discerning and willing to speak the truth and be bold. And right now, that's what people need because, you know, we've been in a lot of Calvaries. I've probably been going to Calvary since 2003, you know, a lot of different places. And it always seemed like we were just a little bit off. Like, there was good teaching, some good friends. But that discernment part, we weren't finding other people that were really trying to understand what's happening. Not just, you know, we are at the end days. You know, this is the time to be reaching out to the people that you love and be bold and share your faith with them. And, you know, being here for the last year and a half has been very encouraging for us. The quick part about our trip out here was right at the beginning, I'd say the end of 2019, I started getting stirred to find a new job. Well, the beginning of 2020 is not the best time to be finding a new job. So I thought, forget this, I'll just wait it out. Well, that didn't work out because I ended up losing my job in April. So we're thousands of miles from our friends because we're not from the West Coast, but that's happened to be where we were. And I'm like, great. Two little kids and my wife, not the best time to find a job. Only God's going to be able to do this. And he brought us here. He got us a job. I mean, a house. And this fellowship has been great for us. So I'm very thankful for that.
Amen. This is where it goes fast. We still have time, but we're getting down to the last couple of people to share. So if you can wait until the last minute, like Randy, now's the time.
I'm probably one of the people here that has a worse testimony than Pastor Mark. I was a train wreck. I got saved back in February 4th, 1978, at Greg Laurie's church in California, of course. And I would tell you that I was somebody that was, honestly, I was a dope dealer. I sold dope to people. I ruined people's lives. And God took me up out of the dust and the nonsense that I was involved in, and I still remember the my buddy that had gotten saved. We all went out and got snockered because he had gotten saved at that crazy church, and he begged me for a year to just come and listen once, and I went and I listened to Greg, and I couldn't even tell you how I got from my seat to the stage because it's like I levitated. But what God showed me is, and this is for somebody here tonight, it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter how messed up your life is now. God is there for you. He loves you where you're at, and he'll accept you the way you are. He cleans his fish after he catches them. And you know, it's just important that whoever you are, that you understand that God loves you in spite of, there's nothing that you could have done, there's nothing that you could have said that he can't say, I forgive you and I receive you into the family.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe one more? Well, they're good. Here we go.
This kind of goes along with that. The Lord laid this on my heart this morning, and I'm not going to read the whole thing for time's sake, but in 2 Samuel chapter 9 is the story of basically David. He goes and he seeks out a descendant of Saul to bless, and he finds one of Jonathan's sons who's lame in his feet, and he takes him in, he sits him at the table, he sits him at the king's table with him, and he blesses him, and he gives him all this stuff. And at the very end of the chapter, the last verse, it says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. And that just really spoke to me this morning, because I was like, that's where I was when the Lord found me. In our condition has nothing to do with God's blessing. We can still be in really hard circumstances, but be seated at his table and be feasting with him and in his word. And to me, that's what Thanksgiving is all about. If we leave God out of it, what are we thankful for? Our own works? We can't, because the kindness of the Lord is what brings us to him. And I just, with having a cancer diagnosis, for one, am extremely thankful that I'm here for another year, because I'm not supposed to be here. I've seen my daughter get married, and not one, but two grandbabies. And I can testify that circumstances have nothing to do with God's goodness. Your circumstances do not change his goodness. If you let them, they magnify his qualities. They always do. And I just have to thank him for everything that he's done in both of our lives this year. We're so extremely blessed to be back and see God move in the outpouring of his spirit. And the young adults are incredibly, they're just awesome, and they're such a blessing to us. And yeah, I thank the Lord for everything. I really do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll squeeze you in. We got John here real quick. Let's squeeze John in so we can do it, because you're standing. I can't just let you stand there.
I wanted to publicly give thanks to the Lord for the deliverance that he worked in me to bring me through graduate school after a very long time that I was stuck, and he brought brothers and sisters into my life to encourage me and to pray for me and to get me going again when I didn't have any strength on my own to finish. And he brought me through, he gave me strength to finish when I didn't have any strength. So I just wanted to give him public thanks and to give him the praise for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a great night. Look how fast an hour of giving thanks to the Lord goes. Wasn't that a great night? Just hearing God praise and giving thanks to the Lord. Isn't that great? What a great God we have. Listen, I'm going to wrap it up, but I want to say this again. First of all, we're very thankful to the Lord. You know, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. We did that tonight. But there may have been someone here, and I think Randy even spoke of that. No doubt God uses these, where for the first time, God opened your eyes. You know that you don't know him. You know that you need to know him. It's very simple. Listen, all you have to do is confess to him. Say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin. I know that I've sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, and now I turn from it. That's what repent means, to turn from your sin. And if that's you tonight, as we're finishing up, just pray that prayer. Ask God to forgive you. Tell him you believe he died for you on the cross. And turn from your sin, and the Bible says that you'll be born again. And if you want to speak to someone afterwards, we'll be here to pray with you. There's bags out there. If you give your life to the Lord, grab one of those, tells you what you've done, how to get your walk started with the Lord. But anyway, I just want to thank the Lord for tonight. Let's just pray and end it and thank the Lord for what he's done, and we'll go out worshiping the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for tonight. And, God, you told us in your word, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And we spent, Lord, a full hour just giving thanks to you for your goodness. I thank you for the testimonies. I know that everyone in this room could have shared things that you've done. I thank you for those that did share. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this time of year to focus on giving you thanks. I pray that you would, Lord, if there are any that don't know you, that tonight would be the night they'd make that decision. And we give you thanks if there's any that do that. And I pray, God, that tomorrow, when we celebrate this feast and family getting together, that once again, we would give you thanks for what you've done and let it be a day of celebration of our God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time of feasting and thanksgiving, but how we look forward, Lord, to the day where we will be in the kingdom having the marriage supper of the Lamb. 7 years of feasting as only an introduction to an eternity of feasting with you, Lord, and celebrating with you and celebrating with your people. We give you all the glory and praise and thank you for tonight and bless your holy name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.